Hello, Elvis.
Hey, Mason.
Paul.
How's it going, Mason?
Wonderful, and Lowry.
But you are jazzed today, hello.
Oh yeah, you bet. So I've been coordinating with you guys, with your characters, and we are in for the worst party so far.
Worse than Dungeon Men?
Oh yeah, worse than Dungeon Men. And it's going to be subtle, that's the best part.
The only thing Lowry did during Dungeon Men was torture us.
I mean, I also advanced the plot like crazy.
Yeah, but by, like, torturing us.
I know, my character got along with him all right.
No, I'm excited. I got my psychology cap on and everything. So, okay, sit down, let's get started.
You know, not every group would be like, oh man, my GM is going to psychologically torture me. I sure am excited for this game.
So I love you guys. But all right, Elvis, we're going to start with you, because you are brand new to the idea of being a superhero. Fresh out of college, you put in an application for Unstoppable Industries, one of the most famous and highly celebrated superhero companies in the world. Now, it's a big company and they have several branches around the country, but here in New Jersey, Delphia, is where Captain Momentum himself operates. But his team is currently only 3 people. Rarely, he expands the roster, and this is one of those times. Now, you and all your college friends thought there was no way that you'd get in. But, against all odds, you sat down for that interview, and you aced it. Now, you haven't met the big man himself, but he is the superhero. Think like Superman. Now, you know he seems cool on TV, but of course not everybody is like their TV persona. You just don't know what to expect. But when you come into the office, there at the reception desk waiting for you is Captain Momentum. He's decked out in his red, white, and blue uniform, and when he sees you, he nods and he waves. You approach. He shakes your hand firmly and enthusiastically, and he puts his hand on your shoulder, and he goes, "You must be Flux. I'm Captain Momentum, but my real name is Rudy. And this is Sasha." He points to the receptionist, who waves at you. And he says, "It was great catching up with you, Sasha, but my guy's here. I gotta go."
"It is such an honor, sir. When I applied, I did not think I was going to make it in, but I cannot believe that I got in."
"Okay, well, hey, look, your application was great. And your interview was great. I got to see the video recording of it, and I loved some of the answers that you gave. So, not that I don't like the enthusiasm, though, but dial it down just a little bit. I know this is like it's a big thing because I'm a celebrity, but we're going to be colleagues."
"Oh, right. Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I'm, you know, like, it's just, you're...
"He's Rudy," says the receptionist. He points at her, and he nods, and he goes, "Yeah, the costume and the persona and everything, it's all just symbolism and branding, and that's really important, but like you and me, we're going to be working as people. So I do get put up on that pedestal, but it's a workplace. So Sasha here, an important part of the company, you're going to meet Peter, our lawyer. My brother Michael is part of the board of directors, and all he thinks about is the business. So we're people, and we're flawed, and we have an HR department."
"Okay, right. Yes, I understand. I think I got it all out of my system now. You know, it's my first time meeting someone who I've seen on TV so much as you."
"All right, you got it? Okay, then let's go upstairs and meet the rest of the team."
"Yes, sir, right behind you."
Rudy takes you to the elevator and he hits the button and then you guys wait. He kind of leans over and he goes, "Hey, the fan stuff is not a big deal. I get that a lot. But so you know, normally we just wear plain clothes. We only put on the costumes when we go out on patrol or other official things."
"Oh, should I not have worn this? It takes a little while to get into. It's like armor."
"No, you're fine. I knew that you'd show up in your super costume. That's why I'm dressed up. I didn't want you to feel weird on your first day. But just so you know, you don't have to wear it. You can come in your plain clothes if it doesn't take too long to get into your outfit. A lot of times you'll see the other guys just dressed normally. Myself included."
"Oh, okay. I mean, there's a lot of buckles and stuff on this. I'm not sure how well I could get in and out."
"If you need to wear the suit, that's also fine." The elevator comes down, and he goes, "Yep, this is us," and they get on board. Generally, though, if you're not going to wear the suit, we kind of encourage a dress shirt and slacks. The entire point is to feel like a business atmosphere, because in between sorties, we like to do debriefing and talk about what went wrong, what we could have done better. Analyzing our own work in an objective way is a big part of doing better in the future. So don't be weirded out. If you see everybody in dress shirts, slacks, a lot of times, it's not a secret identity thing. We're not trying to keep ourselves secret. It's a workplace thing."
"Okay. All right. I think I get it."
"Yeah. I say this because for the longest time, I had a receptionist who thought that I was trying to stay incognito when I put on the tie and that she was supposed to pretend that I was a different person from Captain Momentum. So, I mean, like, I didn't know that that's what she thought until she told me one day, like, during a luncheon. And don't worry. I know a dress shirt isn't a disguise."
"Well, so. I mean, like, you're so visible and recognizable with the outfit. I mean, like, do people recognize you when you take it off?
Yeah, they do. I mean, not everybody is sure that it's me, but yeah, they do.
Is that ever awkward?
It can be. I mean, you'll be out at dinner or something, and then somebody will come up and they want to try to punch you to see if you're really invulnerable. But that's why I try to encourage us to use our real names and be Rudy here at the workplace, because out in the wild, you know, I'm only Captain Momentum. And it gets awkward. It does get weird.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Oh, I'm Elvis, by the way.
Right, yeah, I read on the resume. I should have given you a chance to introduce yourself. And he leans over and he shakes your hand again. And then he kind of nods. And the elevator door opens and you guys step out on the top floor. Rudy leads you to an office door and then he stops. And he says, all right, so before we go in, I got to warn you about Kimon. We get a lot of HR complaints about him and he's going to give you a hard time. All you need to do is be confident, look him in the eye, take him seriously, and you've got to understand if he gives you a criticism, he expects to be listened to, but that doesn't mean you have to do what he says. For that matter, if I don't speak up right when he says something, that doesn't mean that I endorse his point of view. It's going to be delicate working with him. You're going to figure it out real fast. And also, he's got super hearing, so he can hear me giving you this warning. Let's go ahead. He opens the door and welcomes you in. And here sitting in this room are the two other men of the team. On the left, Kimon, the slayer of men. A grizzled old man with a long beard, and the most infamous member of the team. Slayer of men is just one of his titles. He's gained quite a few over his career. Criminals today sometimes call him the poltergeist, and there's a theory that he can't be killed, but no one really knows what exactly Kimon can and cannot do. He was originally a villain. He ran a brief campaign of terror against the city of New Jersey Delphia, trying to claim the city under his own banner. He did this while declaring against corrupt politicians and insisting the city needed a new direction. It was a stunningly and concerningly popular movement. Captain Momentum fought against him, but it was one of the more difficult battles of his career because it was waged on a political front more than anything. He did his best to avoid physical fighting, but it still happened, and not just with Momentum, but with members of the government. He rose, and he fell, and he rose again, and then fell again, and then finally, he tried to build a flying fortress with cloaking technology. The thing really did fly, and it was mostly invisible. Unfortunately, it was also invisible to the flock of geese that flew into it and got sucked into the turbines. The fortress crashed, and it was assumed that there were no survivors. It was believed that Kimon also died in the crash, until he showed up at a jewelry store waving around a pocket knife. The police were terrified to go in. They assumed it was a trap, so they called Momentum to deal with it. And then Momentum had a prolonged conversation with Kimon. The exact contents of that discussion was never released to the public. But afterward, Captain Momentum pushed for a full federal and state pardon for Kimon, which, after a lot of political back and forth and arguing, he was able to secure. Kimon was then brought into Momentum's team, and with that, the rebellion of New Jersey Delphia was put to rest. For that reason, Kimon has one other nickname, the man's dog. All that said, the company has played up his bad boy image quite a lot, and you've seen plenty of pickup trucks with decals of his old banner. He still wears those colors now, in the form of a red, gold, and black sleeveless karate gi. Rudy says, this is Paul. You've probably heard a lot about him, but to us, he's just Paul.
Oh, wow. This is like the real Kimon. I'm Flux, Elvis. And, you know, you're one of the big reasons that I applied for this job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you got to show that, like, a man can come from a lot of different backgrounds and have a lot of opinions. And it's still important to the company, to Momentum here.
What kind of name is Flux, exactly?
It's like, I can teleport. So if you think, like, I'm in flux, like, am I here, am I there? Also, it just sounds cool.
Okay, so you had an opportunity to choose whatever name you wanted to be called by, and you didn't stop to think, like, what happens if the public turns against me? Do you know how easily they're going to disparage you with a name like Flux? It's a letter away from a problem.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Rudy, I thought we had a conversation about this kid.
We did. But Paul, I disagree with you fundamentally on where you see a weakness. I'm sorry, we shouldn't talk like you're not here. Okay, Elvis, after your interview, Kimon and I discussed whether or not you were a good fit, and he didn't like how young you were. I personally think it's a good opportunity for you to learn. You take a guy with a lot of experience, and he's set in his ways, he's developed habits. You have to unteach some of those things, and that's more challenging, I think, than taking on a young guy and building him from the ground up.
Look at him, Rudy. He's gonna pee himself. A kid without experience doesn't know where to draw the lines or when to say no to you or I.
That is a fair point, and you're not entirely wrong. But, Flux, I am going to personally mentor you. Flux, one of the things that you're going to learn is you're going to get criticized by me, you're going to get criticized by Kimon, you're going to get criticized by the press, and everybody else. And that's good.
Right, unless, of course, it's bad.
There are bad forms of criticism, but we're going to be constructive.
Right, I just wanted to ask one thing. Kimon, sir, is it true that you can pass through walls?
Yes, it's called a door, Elvis.
Okay, because I was just curious, since my ability to teleport, you know, it seems a little redundant if someone else on the team could just walk through walls.
Why would that be redundant? If we could all walk through walls, that sounds useful as heck. As it is, we just have to wait for momentum to run through the wall.
Yeah, we try not to do that, though, because walls are sometimes structurally important, and having me just run through them can cause a building to fall down, so.
One more question I wanted to ask. Are you... Actually, like, the news used to say that you were from China and that you were, like, a Chinese warlord.
Okay, look, I'm Chinese-American. I was born in America, and my father was born in America, and his father was born in America. The name Paul should spell that out for you.
Okay, I'm sorry, was that racist, or,
I don't know. I don't care! It's between you and God if you want to feel bad about it.
Paul, can you lay off? Do you always have to be such a prick?
To your right is the widely recognized and highly celebrated Freeze Frame. An ice-themed superhero who owns his own theme park, Freeze Frame Land. Ice cream is free with the price of admission. Of the three members of the team, Freeze Frame is easily the social media guy. He's got his own podcast, he's got a YouTube channel, he goes on talk shows all the time. People love him. He's got a very easygoing personality. One of the things you've heard him talk about a lot are all of his charities, because building up society is more than just stopping criminals. In fact, it's actually thanks to Freeze Frame that everyone was allowed to accept Kimon in the long run. He talked quite a lot about what Kimon was doing behind the scenes, and just overall he talks about the superhero thing and makes it seem very human, very personable. You don't tend to see him doing a lot of grunt work. Like, there's a few clips of him doing some heroic acts, and they get shown over and over again. It's like his greatest hits. But broadly, although they put Momentum's face on everything, normally if you're hearing from the company, you're hearing from Freeze Frame. And it sounds like he's very involved behind the scenes and is probably one of the hardest working guys in the whole industry.
Well, thank you for speaking up for me, sir, Mr. Freeze Frame. I'm open to criticism, though. I'm not afraid to be criticized.
Well, don't be too open to it, because that's all he'll do.
That's not true. Sometimes I also poop, and I had cereal with marshmallows in it for breakfast today, so I do other things.
I bet you have complaints about the poop and the cereal.
I do, if you want to hear them.
Rudy slaps the table, and he goes, "All right, guys, come on, let's keep it business-focused."
You guys never want to hear about my poops.
Paul, are they gonna stop crime?
I'll be honest, I could think of some ways, but you're not gonna like it.
You know, I tell you who's not gonna like it, my brother Michael. Kimon action figure with extreme pooping action, not gonna sell well.
You don't know the kids. Ask the little boys, do a focus group, they'll love it.
It's not gonna go with your brand, though, okay? That's what they're gonna say.
Hey, the brand. I can be the pooping guy, I don't care.
Okay, look, hey, on the day that Kimon does the pooping thing, I get to do a helicopter. All right, I want a helicopter.
No, no helicopter. Helicopters are expensive. I don't want to do maintenance, fuel, flight hours, no.
Oh, you're on board with poop, but you won't do a helicopter. We can sell helicopter toys.
Okay, all right, I don't want to talk about the helicopter. I know you're actually kind of serious about it, so just no. All right, so you see, Elvis, we're kind of like a, not a family. I don't want to say like a family.
Well, I mean, Michael runs the business side.
Well, yeah, family's involved, but I mean, like, we are not.
Yeah,
you know.
Family. You know, I got a wife. But she's so sour, I'm concerned I married a grapefruit.
How's that divorce going, by the way?
Eh, she still won't sign the paperwork.
It's been years, right?
You know, she thinks she's so smart. But if she's not gonna sign the papers, I'm not gonna sign the papers. She thinks this is unilateral. I'm not getting a divorce either.
Well, boy, she sure can't control you.
Shut up, Lowry.
All right, that's enough. So let's everybody take our seat, and we'll go over what Flux is gonna bring to the table, Elvis, and...
What do you mean? Are we gonna do a presentation of what he's capable of? We gotta pack it. Emailed out to us, right? I've already gone over it. I've got ideas.
Well, I didn't read the email.
I knew you would.
Why? And I tossed the packet across the table.
Because you know I like to do this stuff in person. I don't get how you guys read everything in an email and you're just satisfied with that. Like, I want to get to know Flux face to face.
Right. It's a good opportunity for Elvis here to get acquainted with everybody. So, Elvis, go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Oh, right. Well, I recently graduated from college with a degree in superphysics.
Right. From our very own New Jersey Delphia University.
Okay, let him tell it.
Well, Mr. Kimon is correct. I graduated from good old NJU.
Okay, don't call me Kimon. All right, that's just a name the press gave me. Paul.
Okay. It's a little awkward, so I just... You know.
Okay, so let me clarify how I got the name. All right, during a standoff with the police, somebody asked me who I was, and I yelled, "Come on!" And I threw a brick at him. And of course, one of our genius reporters, in an effort to produce news and be the first one to report my villain name, thought that I had said something in Chinese, because I looked Chinese. So they went online, and they found a word that sounded like, "Come on," which had something to do with evil or evil from the north, or I don't know, I don't actually speak Chinese. But that was it. One of them reported that, and then the others all reported as though it were a fact, and now I'm stuck with that. That's who I am. So out there, yes, I'm Kimon. But in here, I don't know what that is. Call me Paul.
Oh, okay. Wow, I did not know that.
Well, I never tried to correct the record, because at the time I thought, I don't care. But now that's what they put on everything.
I mean, yeah, that's the name I see on the action figures, the toys and everything.
There's an action figure of me shooting lightning out of my fingertips like Emperor Palpatine. Don't, you know, the toys are not an authority.
Okay. I was curious if you could do that.
Oh, actually, this is something that should be brought up. Not to get too far off the track and start talking about Paul, but if anyone asks you about what kind of powers he has, or even about what kind of powers you have, feel free to make stuff up. That's actually a policy that we began when we started advertising Kimon, because we realized, you know, it's a character. This was actually Paul's idea.
Yeah, Kimon does not exist, which means that he could be anything. He can shoot lightning, he can walk through walls, he's a ghost, anything. One of the big problems Rudy here ran into is that he was too honest for his own good. And so everybody got to study what he could and could not do, and it created a lot of problems. If you know your enemy well, he becomes fairly easy to defeat, and that's part of why Rudy had to expand the team. When I came on board the team, we just started lying about what I was capable of, and no one can plan against it.
I mean, we once had a guy who dressed himself up completely in rubber because he thought it would insulate him from Kimon's lightning attack.
I threw a brick at him!
The rubber did not stop the brick.
Yeah, so just make up lies when you talk about your powers. You know, you don't just teleport, you can create lightning bolts, you can throw fireballs, whatever, everything, anything, anything that sounds fun and fits you.
Yeah, really. I mean, this kind of misinformation has become company-wide policy. It's necessary because we had a branch where one of our heroes could see through walls, and then he revealed that he couldn't see through lead. So suddenly, of course, every villain was shielding everything with lead, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, but just imagine had we said that he couldn't see through tungsten. And then all of our villains would be spending all this extra money to get a bunch of tungsten shielding that wouldn't do anything. So they'd be wasting their budget and wasting their time, and our hero would still be just as effective.
Oh, wow. I haven't really thought about what kind of, like, fake powers I could have.
That's all right. Just let Kimon tell them what your powers are. He'll make something up.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay, so my actual power, not made up, is that I can teleport.
Right, but you say that it's extremely limited, so you had to develop your own enhancer system.
See, there you go. You're doing his performance for him again.
Because that's the note that's relevant, right? It runs on a battery, and when you run out of battery, you can't teleport anymore, at least not for long distances.
Yes, and normally I'm only capable of teleporting my own mass. I need the enhancers to teleport, say, like other people.
Right, so if the battery gets damaged, it runs out or whatever, then we're in trouble, for others at least. That's going to be really important for exfiltration or other kinds of things we want to use this for. So the way I see it, we can look at Elvis's power reliably as a way to hot drop into a situation, but not necessarily as a reliable way to get out.
Well, not to contradict, but,
Contradict. Feel free to contradict. It's your power, for goodness sake.
Right, yeah. So the battery is armored. And it's mostly bulletproof. I've done testing at home and in the lab. And so it's like it stands up well to a heavy machine gun.
So is a concrete wall, but some villains can punch through that.
Okay, point taken. I also have a green belt in karate.
Okay. Wow. That wasn't even in the packet.
Congrats, though. That is really cool. Is that like a high-ranking belt?
It's kind of like in the middle.
Okay, so that's better than the average person.
Rudy, I can't believe you didn't even put that in the... It's a green belt.
Yeah, okay. So, Elvis, we were kind of thinking about maybe some training options for you combat-wise. How do you feel about firearms?
Oh, I mean, like, I don't know if I, like, I was kind of hoping that I would be...
Suddenly an alarm rings out. Rudy gets up and he goes, oh, shoot, it's always in the middle of something. We're all suited up. Let's get the briefing and get out of here.